Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. Purple Tuna says, Jeff, whether it's a corrupt state or Romania has become just as woke and tyrannical as the West, your intuition to not move to Eastern Europe has been proven correct. I don't know if the Tate situation is comparable. Maybe it is in the sense that, but I wouldn't have accumulated so many things. You don't want to accumulate seizable assets. Of course, you have to have a house. That's what you need. But other than this, you don't want to accumulate things that are obviously above the line of like scandalous levels of luxury. Because of course, they're going to go for this. Of course, it looks to a jury, to a judge, to a district attorney that's willing to be corrupted. All of this looks like an easy case. But yeah, I'm happy not to have gone to Eastern Europe because it's charming sometime when you have the impression that it's a world with less red tape, but it's a world with not even a basic concept of civil rights and of individual rights. And so they go after whoever. It's the arbitrariness of the dictatorship, basically, that rules there. End of the line, Joel says, they took his Bentley. Now he doesn't have plenty. New rap lyrics for Andrew Tate. Making the Bentley rhyme with the plenty. Very interesting. Did he at least leave the letter? All of this is in reference to the rap of Andrew Tate, which was about the leather in his Bentley. Reviving JJJ says, wouldn't it be better if intellectuals and thinkers were poor, like priests and monks, would give them a lot more freedom and less to be attacked on? Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much what I've done in my life. I live a very simple life. I run my car to the extreme end of their possibility of running, and I always buy the cheapest car that I can in my circumstance. So, yes, this is how you have to live your life if you're going to be hated by millions of people. That's just what it is. And there was a guy who was hating me recently. Eric Moss, he's been on the channel for many years. I can remember his thumbnail on YouTube. He was probably since back the Blood Sports days. Started sending insults at me in the last few months. He didn't like my FTX coverage, believe it or not. Of all the things I do, the FTX SBF coverage was too much for him. He was insisting on lots of comment on the Odyssey channel. He was insisting for weeks that I know, guys, what's happening with JF. JF is anti-Semitic. That's why he's making such a negative coverage of FTX and SBF. He ultimately hates Jews. And in front of this hate from Eric Moss, I was like, do I ban this guy or do I leave it up? And I was like, I'm going to leave it up. That's like your opinion, bro. You think I'm anti-Semitic? Okay. That would be illegal in Canada. I cannot afford being anti-Semitic, but you think that. All right, and you think that this is why I'm pissed about SBF and I hate SBF with a passion. It's just the anti-Semitism kicking in. All right, so I left him up. But 2 days ago, he started arguing with me. And yesterday, he said in a comment, I don't believe in JF's book. And then I was like, wait a minute, this hateful guy is starting to annoy me here. The fact that he thinks I'm anti-Semitically biased against SBF, that's one thing. But he now attacks my scientific theory. So I said, what is your critique of my book? He said, I don't believe in JF's book. Computers can't mutate. So there cannot be a revolutionary phenotype in computer form. Now, I was really annoyed because I was like, well, in my book, the computers are modified to generate randomness in the genetics. The people do this because they want to avoid being clones of each other. But you can think of various different ways in which the mutations could still happen, even if that wasn't through this mechanism. You could have mutations happen in people's lives, and then when they go to reproduction, their genes have mutated. You could have mutations happening in the process of copying the genetic information from the computer to the human DNA. There's basically three places where it can happen. It can happen in the human's body in his life before reproduction. It can happen in the computer through random generation. And it can happen at the moment of the copy from the computer to the human DNA, or the read from the human DNA to the computer. And he was like, okay, but what does your book bring? Now it's like, oh, you didn't believe in my theory because of this reason. Now I debunked it. Now suddenly you're moving the goalpost. Now he wants to know, what does your theory bring that's new? He says, replicator tangos don't exist. And I was like, all of his challenges were all addressed in the book. And so I'm like, you didn't read my book. And he ended this discussion by saying, no, I didn't read your book, and I don't intend to read it. I can criticize the theory without reading a book. And that was too much for me. You cannot say you don't believe in a book you haven't read, that you challenge the theory that's only inside that book. It would be one thing if my book was so spread across the world that there would be thousands of authors who have written about my book, summarized it maybe better than myself even. But that's not the world we live in. We live in a world where the only place you can get the full definitions for each of the things that you were asking about, Eric Moss, is in my book. So I banned him from Odyssey because if you tell me you don't want to read my book, but you want to keep criticizing it, you're going to have to do it on some other platforms. You're not welcome. You're not welcome here. Then he went on Twitter and he said, I want everyone to know that JF has deleted my legitimate criticism of his book. So I banned him on Twitter too because I don't want to be harassed. So this was a whole multi-month experience with Eric Moss. Too bad to see old people who were with this show for so long. But somehow they become annoyed with me at a specific time. And you can pick on many issues with me, but you're losing my time if you're telling me that you're not going to inform yourselves about the issue that you want to criticize me about. Then you're really just asking me to deliver my book to you for free on the internet. I don't have to do this. I can let you be wrong about my book and no one will ever care about your YouTube comments and Odyssey comments. Silver Spider says, JF, have you read the entire Bible? Maybe you missed something. Well, the Bible, you know, doesn't claim to be a holistic scientific work with method, hypothesis, and so... And anyways, am I criticizing the Bible, really? I wouldn't even go somewhere and say, hey, the Bible is entirely wrong. I would probably say, hey, this passage in the Bible is wrong because I just read this passage and I want to be honest about it. But Eric Moss was denying my whole book without ever reading a single sentence from it. Silver Spider says, I bought JF's book on Audible, but I haven't finished yet. Hey, suddenly I'm becoming a person again now that I'm unbanned from YouTube. I have interviews lined up up to next Wednesday, every day. Tomorrow, I'm going on Richard Spencer's Substack discussion. I don't know if you guys are going to have to pay for it or if it's free. I don't know how it works. But anyways, it will be tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Then I'll be on Coach Red Pill show. Then there's a woman. A woman has contacted me. Let me check the calendar here. I'll be on Modern Day Debate on Friday the 13th. That will be a race versus religion debate. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. On Tuesday, I'll be with CRP. Coach Red Pill wants to kick the shit and take some news from me. And on Wednesday, what is this woman's name? It's a podcast called Subversive by Alex Kashuta, a woman making a podcast about subversivity. No, she's not another Ashley Naberius. I have verified that this particular woman wasn't a black man. By the way, Ashley, this was all a loss of time. He published his article about race, but you know what this guy dares say to me? He writes to me and he said, after I wrote pages of text to explain to him everything and say, this is the study that's reliable, this is the argument, this is this, and he was asking questions and I was responding. He said, turns out I decided to write the article without your perspective in it, but I learned a lot from you, and I learned a lot in our conversation. I haven't quoted you in the article, but you'll see that a lot of the themes that I explore are some that I've mentioned. And what did he do? He presented his leftist counter that, oh my God, the far-right people are so wrong about race and IQ and genetics, and they forget this and they forget that. But he didn't. Believe it or not, he didn't report my answers. So it's like an article just about the leftist view, not debunked. Whereas I took the means, I took the time, and I took the effort to debunk point by point. Why is this argument not good? Why is this argument not good? I want to be open and kind of naive, because I think we should have more naive people in the world that just engage openly and just trust journalists. But every time with these journalists, they are on a quest. They want to tell a story. They don't want to find the truth. They know how it looks from the start. And if you give them something that shakes up their view, that says, oh yeah, maybe you've not thought about this or that, and they're incapable of being changed by the process of the interview. For them, the interview is a hunt for, can I catch something that would make him look good if it's a good one, or bad if it's a bad one? They're unable to adjust their mind. They're NPCs. They are fucking retarded, these journalists. Fuck them. Kenter says, Silver Spider, well... Okay, oh no, he was responding to some other guy on the chat. Meanwhile, I'm continuing my war on Twitter to liberate the accounts that have not been liberated. The State of Amnesty General Update, January 11th, 2023. Here are the accounts unjustly banned. I've now gathered all of the accounts that you guys have sent me, because I had forgotten many. All of these accounts are still banned, from Keith Woods, Millennial Woes, to American Renaissance, Junes Loca, Ryan Dawson, Nick... Oh! Has Ryan Dawson just been unbanned? Oh! When there's a zero following, normally it's because they are in the process of unbanning. But is it possible that he's unable to tweet? I don't know, because he may be unable to tweet. Anyways, that might be our first success in this whole list, because when I look at the others, they haven't been unbanned. Jared Taylor, Don Depp. Oh! Oh! Another success, perhaps. Greg Johnson, Nicholas Fuentes. And I was telling Elon Musk, some of the people in this list I personally disagree with. People will confirm that there are personal enemies of mine in this list, Elon Musk. But that's no reason to deny them the most fundamental human right, that of being able to speak freely. We are counting on Elon Musk to restore the free market of ideas on Twitter. The future of the internet depends on him. I truly believe these words. I think that so much relies on how serious he's going to be about it. I'm happy to see that there may be, because I verified manually that each of these accounts were truly banned at the moment I tweeted it. So if there's already two that are unbanned, that might be good. However, are they truly unbanned, or do they have to erase their own tweets before they get unbanned? I don't know. All right. Andrew Tate is cars and real estate have been repossessed, seized. Some people were speculating at the beginning of the show that this was a move by Greta. She just called Joe Biden and said, get it done. And so does Greta have the power to have the government of Eastern Europe's countries go after the people who live there? In any case, this is the lawyer of Andrew Tate, and he's speaking about the seizures of these assets.
Domnule Oanță, din punctul meu de vedere sunt la fel de relevante. Orice act este considerat ca fiind emis nelegal împotriva unei persoane care se bucură de toate drepturile și libertățile, urmează a fi atacat și instanța se tranșeze.
So it's not super interesting to go through because he says nothing. He just said, the journalist is trying to have him say that somehow these seizures of assets are, they change the game of this whole case, but the lawyer is like, no, really, this, it's just an unlawful violation of my client's right, and we will combat it. Tim Cox says, we gotta get Elon to read TRP. He has the open mind to understand the implications of TRP. Certainly he does. Certainly he does, and I don't know, should I start getting involved in these Twitter spaces? Perhaps it will be easier to do once I got my blue check mark in 29 days from now, I guess. Because they say you have to wait 30 days after account inactivity, but the account inactivity is not my fault. The account inactivity is because I was unfairly banned. Anunnaki says, Google results link to a fake Twitter account if I search for Jean-François Gariepi. Well, all of this will be resolved in 29 days when I have my blue check mark. It will be the seal of approval, the only one that can be identified as Jean-François Gariepi. Now, Google search results, you're never going to get out of it. Google has veered toward deceiving their own audience, lying to them about what they're searching for. And so you're not going to fix Google on this. You're just going to have to wait that people get tired of Google. Personally, I'm already out of the Google search engine business. I still use Google for one thing, which is the email, the Gmail. I think it still delivers. It's still a good service. But you're going to have to move on. Pre-search has been working great as a search engine for me. Perfectly fit. Kenter says, Spencer is not the first one to demand internet IDs. The former Austrian Chancellor Kurz also wanted this. It is much worse than just Twitter if the big picture is looked at. I don't know. I'm not super alarmed at the IDs. It does suck that because there is such a thing as anonymous creators. And it sucks for anonymous creators to be rolled out progressively. That sucks. But as far as I'm concerned, if you have an anonymous account on Twitter as a user of it, you're going to have all of the functionality of Twitter. you may have less exposure, but if you're looking for exposure like me, if it's your business to be exposed on the internet, then you're gonna have to accept to go by your real name or to go by a pseudonym, but that will be partially doxed basically by Twitter. I still don't know that Twitter is, their security is too weak, and that let's say if my name was Super Streamer 2020, if that was my nickname on Twitter and I never revealed my real name, but I used a credit card in my name, would Twitter eventually leak my info? Would there be a bunch of leftists in San Francisco finding me based on this? They could. And they would probably give that info to a journalist, and there would be no way for me to know how did the journalist get to know. But yeah, it could be an employee at Twitter that did it. So from that perspective, I find it sad that we are not leaving a space for anonymous creators to exist, because there is some dangerous ideas that are worth exploring, but that are completely life-ruining and criminal in certain countries. Not the US, but certain countries. The US, they're not going to be illegal, but they're going to be socially canceling those IDs. But in any case, there is a reason for anonymity still. And I can't wait to be punching a little bit on punching metaphorically here, of course. I can't wait to be intellectually challenging Jordan Peterson now that I'm back on Twitter. I've not been tweeting to Jordan yet. I will. But I'm warming myself. I'm like, okay, what am I going to attack Jordan on next week? So I'm warming myself, but there are some people who are going hard on him. He was publishing this tweet today. Gaston or the redeemable beast, I stand for the latter, and so do the wise beauties. Rolo Tomasi says, your daughter disagree. Ouch! 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 I am in pain just thinking. Holy shit. Can you imagine seeing your daughter dressed like a prostitute, just sitting on the leather couch of a pimp from Eastern Europe? And not only this, you were tweeting about this particular pimp, and someone brings that picture to you and says, your daughter disagrees. Ouch. And I don't know what was the code meaning in Jordan Peterson's phrasing here, but when he says, so do the wise beauties, is he saying to us, my daughter is a wise beauty, and she saw through Andrew Tate, and she didn't stay with him? Is he saying, yeah, you're going to find some photos of her with him, but she went away from him, and she basically forgot about him? Interesting code language here, and very interesting reply by Rolo Tomasi, the rational male who I've heard many good things about. If the reports are true, WWE sold to Saudi Arabia, and I will no longer watch any product from them. If you're living under a rock, Saudi has denied Sami Zayn from wrestling there. Wrestlers don't want to wrestle there. Women are treated like garbage, and I have no rights in Saudi Arabia. Report: WWE sold to Saudi Arabia. The sale to the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund appears to be a done deal. Interesting. I don't know if that's true. And I don't really care. And I don't think, if it was sold to Saudi Arabia, I don't think the wrestling would happen in Saudi Arabia. I think they would just have it as an investment. They would want to benefit from the continued activity of WWE in America. I mean, I don't know why you would pull wrestling out of America, because in America, thanks to the work of Vince McMahon, wrestling is not considered a sport. It is considered a theatrical performance because there was a case, was it in the 90s, I believe, where Vince McMahon was brought to the politicians, or was it a judge? And I remember him saying, being reported as saying, it's all fake. We're just theatrical performers here. We're not a sport. Everyone is playing. Wrestling doesn't exist. They're all trained professionals. They repeat, they rehearse, and then they perform their theatrical performance in front of everyone. Go away, says WWE in Saudi would be based. WWE has been going downhill for decades due to American cultural decay. Yes, WWE has been less interesting, and it's been especially less interesting since the great Vince McMahon had been self-canceling himself out of the game because of some upcoming allegations that were about to come about him from women who were claiming sexual harassment. I found this ridiculous. I mean, at this point, it's so passé, this Me Too. Don't let a bunch of random women show up at a random time in a successful man's life and suddenly regret past sexual interaction. If you got raped, you go to see the police on that night, period. And then you pursue all of this as a crime. There, you don't come 15 years after the rape and say, oh, now that my rapist is successful, I would like to destroy his success. Dino Legovic says, stay in the kitchen, ladies. That is another option. They can perform extremely well in the kitchen. Well, talking about ladies, women break rules. Beta Teki agrees to exclusivity premature. Oh, this woman is deranged. This woman is deranged. I just want to show you. She is way too into problematic interpretations of behavior in the guy and in herself. When they're already talking about therapy within the first 30 seconds that they have something to say, that is a red flag.
Last night was my ninth date with the tech guy, so let's talk about the very, very big update. Please excuse my Sundayness. I got my hair cut yesterday, so I'm letting it do its thing. I'm wearing two different color tie-dyes. It's my clothing company software.
Self-obsessed narcissism.
So this is going to happen, and I'm drinking my collagen coffee, so let's go along on this ride.
Typical tech girl, probably doesn't cannot code a single valid line of code, but somehow is talking in extreme detail about her coffee. This is what happens when you have autism but no intelligence. You think you belong in the tech industry. Your autism directs you to talk about things in extreme detail, but you don't understand the code. So you start describing your whole cup of coffee and feeling bad about it.
Together. Let's give a little bit of context. So the tech guy and I have been seeing each other for, I think we just hit our 6-week mark. And in the interim,
but this whole trend of doing your makeup while you film your TikTok videos is a feminine pathological behavior. Because what she believes that by looking buzzy, she believes that she is inserting into her message to you a sort of carelessness, a sort of casualty, that she's not fully paying attention to the generation of her professional TikTok video. That it's more a thing on the side. See, I'm doing other things. See, Papa JF, when he does a stream, that's the only thing he does. He's sitting there. He has prepared all of his TV, his lights. She doesn't do this. She is actually doing other things while reflecting on her love story. But this is all theatrical performance. She's doing this because she thinks she looks better when looking busy. She thinks that it adds a casualty to her relationship with her audience. so that they can deceive themselves into thinking that they're not fully losing their time. They're doing all these things at the same time because, oh girl, how can you do it all?
We had agreed that we weren't going to sleep with anybody else or do that, but that, you know, we were just going to kind of take it slow, see what's out there, and not rush into anything.
It's called monogamy.
Now, in the interim of all that, as I was seeing the tech guy, I was just starting to realize, like, we are really missing one of the biggest components in this relationship that we're forming is the banter. And I had had another date with somebody. It was like a very casual thing. And the banter was so incredible. And I was so mentally stimulated. It really made me realize a lot of, like, fuck, this is what's missing with this guy.
Holy shit. She is shopping guys like a la carte menu. It's like, oh yeah, things are going well with this guy, but the banter is lacking. She's probably referring, when they say banter, it's probably some kind of abusive or semi-abusive or secretive code words that she likes to hear from men. And now she's with a man who's probably healthy in his mind, and he doesn't generate these double entendre and this banter that she likes. But that is way too obsessed on the details. She is. This is what happens when you become an old woman. You have so much. You had already all of your check boxes that you expected in the man, but you've kind of crystallized on so many things that you expect because you had them in your exes, rather than just see the person coming to you as a human in whole, a being in and of itself that's deserving of respect and compromise.
Me meeting this gentleman, the tech guy and I had been hanging out, and he just literally looked over me out of nowhere and just said, "Do you want to be my girlfriend?" And I was super caught off guard because we...
Not bad. Not bad approach. I like it. Speaker's Corner says, "Jeff, what is the evolutionary reason for your balls shrinking when you take testosterone? Is this supplementation seen as a cue for your body to stop producing your own, resulting in shrinkage? How do I naturally grow my balls?" Well, I didn't know about this, so I don't have an answer for you. But it does make sense. When you do something for the body, the normal area of your body that was in charge of this will often give up. If you have a robot that does the lifting for you, your muscles will shrink because you don't need them anymore. If you have a part of your brain that you don't use anymore, for example, following an amputation, the part of your brain that was in charge of the arm that got amputated will dedicate itself to other tasks. So things disappear in the body. Well, use it or lose it. Yes, Ty Rogerson, that is what they say.
We had only gone on a few dates, and I just didn't feel like our relationship was at a place where that was appropriate. We hadn't met anybody's friends, we had met any family. Like, there was just not enough.
What? She expects to meet friends and family before considering herself into a committed relationship?
He just literally looked over me out of nowhere and just said, "Do you want to be my girlfriend?"
Ah, she refuses the girlfriend label until she has met friend and family. Holy shit.
And I was super caught off guard because we had only gone on a few dates, and I just didn't feel like our relationship was at a place where that was appropriate. We hadn't met anybody's friends, we hadn't met any family. Like, there was just not enough.
So what, I'm supposed to bring this girl to my mother and say, "Mom, here's a friend of mine, a female friend. We're just hanging out together. Would you like to have dinner with us?" Holy shit. I've never said that to my mom. I will never say that to my mom. If I present a female to my mom, it is my girlfriend. She has been set on a monogamous path, and we both agree on it. I'm not going to bring a female friend to my mom. I have never done this. Not when I was 12 years old, not when I was an adult, not ever. She is easy to dislike, says Ty Rogerson.
enough, I think, data points to know somebody well enough. And like, I'm a super anxious dater, or I have been, and I'm working on that in therapy and in my journey. And
oh my God, she's working in therapy. What is she trying to fix?
I'm a super anxious dater.
Oh, she's an anxious dater.
All right, I have been, and I'm working on that in therapy and in my journey. And for me, it's...
When they say journey, it's finished. Yeah, new guy detected it. The word journey, you're gone. There's no such thing as a journey. You live, it's your life. There's no journey. If they have a concept of journey, they have a concept that they're headed somewhere, but that they're not yet there. And so whatever you see in front of you, it's going to get worse because she actually doesn't feel complete yet. Journey is a no-no word for woman. If you are a man and you hear her say journey, it's over. You have to cancel her.
It's always been a like, oh, okay, great. Well, if somebody says that you're their girlfriend, you've got it. You don't need any more. And now I'm trying to be a lot more intentional of like, but is this the connection I really want? Is this really what I'm seeking? And is this the person of which I want to spend my time and energy on? Last night, the tech guy and I decided to go out to dinner because I really wanted to have a little chat with him and be honest about the feelings that I was having. And I actually don't think it could have gone any better. You know, we had one of the best and most honest conversations with each other. We were able to share like, hey, these are things I like and don't like about the relationship. These are things that I think are, you know, areas of improvement and also things I think that are really great. And I was able to be super upfront and candid of like, yeah, the connection I'm seeking is something that I just don't feel like we have right now. I don't think that it's not that we can't get there. I just think that it's...
This girl is always on a journey. She has the concept of a journey, but she just doesn't have the concept. It's also that she's been weeks with the same guy, and she feels that we're not there yet. She is constantly in a feeling of not being there yet on all aspects of her life.
It's something I needed to be honest about. And he reciprocated the same, telling me things that he was worried about or nervous about or hesitant about or whatever. And it grew us.
Oh my God, he made an error there. He started sharing emotions with her. Now she's going to expect a constant delivery of emotions. It's like Jeff Bezos, okay? He started shipping stuff in the 90s or whatever. And people started expecting that things would come from Jeff Bezos. And now he's stuck. He has to send these billions of packages every year because people have built this habit. Jeff Bezos will send me something. I was thinking about it, and perhaps for the atheist family, it's totally separate subject here, but I was thinking today, for the atheist families, could we make a myth around Jeff Bezos delivering packages to children? Like, when you think about it, Jeff Bezos in his Amazon warehouse, he's pretty much like Santa Claus. I mean, change the dwarves for the workers, change Santa Claus for the Jeff Bezos, change his whore ex who took half of his money for Mama, Christmas Mama, or how do they call her? Mama Claus, Santa Mom, whatever it is in English. I mean, all of the elements are there. We could have an atheist Jeff Bezos myth replacing Santa Claus.
So much closer by the end of it. Let me preface, it was incredibly difficult.
Spindly Opinion says Amazon could know. If you've been naughty or not. Oh yes, they could. Oh my God, this would be such a beautiful song. We could write a song about this, about how Amazon with their algorithm, they actually know if you've been naughty or nice.
Being so vulnerable and honest with somebody because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, but at the same time, remaining true to yourself and saying it in a kind way is really important because you're not going to create intimacy or closeness unless you're honest and communicative. So the evening ended with us being really open, really candid, and just saying,
Yeah, the problem is that the guy has now set a relationship with this woman where he's making her believe that for with him, it's always going to be on that journey. But the one day, I'm telling you what will happen with this guy already. In a month from now or in 2 months from now, he's going to have a week where, I don't know, there will be a sudden increase of testosterone in his balls or something. Some bug will happen in his functioning, which will bring him to the average maleness. And that week, he's not going to have emotions to share. He's going to do male stuff, and he's not going to be on that journey with her. And now she's going to lack her dopamine reward. She's going to be like, hey, this is not the same. You're not the same as you used to be. It's like, yeah. A man just cannot have such low amounts of testosterone that he's going to be sharing his emotions like this on an everyday basis with you on your journey. So eventually he will converge back to the male average. Unless he had his ball totally cut, there's going to be a moment where his alpha nature kind of tries to pop out. And she's not going to like it. She's not going to have her dopamine reward. And she's going to be like, I think that maybe it's time for me to go on my journey alone. That's what's going to happen. And she will be on a journey alone. Lendalt Guntram says, the journey was a radio station in GTA 4. We have such an amazing encyclopedic knowledge here collectively on this show. I love it. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, is wanking bad for you? Wanking. Definition. Wanking to masturbate. Ah, okay. Is it bad for you? I personally object to, you know, strongly rejecting masturbation. I don't see the point. If nature has led you to want to masturbate, maybe there's a reason for it. As I often say on the subject of masturbation, on many other things we learn by simulation in our head. There's lots of skills that you get to acquire, not just because you practice the skill, which is an important element, but a lot of the improvement from session to session in human skills, like playing hockey, playing basketball, or whatever, is from you thinking, reevaluating, having the cognitive process that we call fictitious learning, which is learning without the thing happening. Fictitious learning is a feature of high-level cognition, and it exists out there in the animal world, but certainly not as important as it is for humans. For humans, it is a major way to learn because our world is so complex. And so if masturbation can be seen as the legitimate fictitious learning cognitive process allowing you to prepare for sex, expect sex, plan ahead about what could happen, and therefore, when you get to the real sex, perform better or perform more sex or have more babies, then it would be good for you. Now, I think that there's definitely a form of addiction and satisfaction to porn and masturbation that can be deleterious to your reproductive success. If you reach that point, definitely it's a bad thing. But the question is, are you using masturbation as a way to keep you in the game and to continue the game? Or is that giving you a feeling of satisfaction that makes you disengage from the game of actual heterosexual reproduction? The answer to that question will tell you if you have a problem and if you should stop masturbating. Apparently, Dick Masterson, talking about dicks, Dick Masterson has started a Patreon equivalent on the blockchain called BackBuy. I don't know. Someone told me that it was from Dick Masterson. I have no proof of this, but I'm willing to believe this. And look at this. It's a Patreon alternative backed by. And I will check out. I will check out if that's feasible for me. I will study the possibility of being on there. I don't know to what extent you guys have this kind of Polygon, blockchain, MetaMask wallets. It seems like a very specialized subset. I don't know if many of you will be on there, but just in case that this rises and gets popular and becomes a main way in which creators are supported, I might very well start a wallet. The Sixth Sense says ChatGPT has been found to fail while doing math that requires changing between units of measure. It does the formulas properly but improperly converts the units, resulting in a wrong answer. Okay. Based Saxon says JF needs to go on the Dick Show. I was on the Dick Show. I was on the Dick Show back in the very beginning of COVID days. And I remember they had a segment where they were asking, what is your rage? And I said, my rage is that we may be saving too many people with these masks. These people were due to die and we're letting them survive longer than nature would have wanted them to. That was my joke on the Dick Masterson show. And I don't remember exactly what we talked about back then. Raised Fist says, JF, what if masturbation keeps someone away from the homosexual game? Asking for a friend. My problem is, if you tell me that you are masturbating, thinking about men, for the purpose of living your fictitious experience and keeping it that way and never engaging in homosexuality, the problem is I don't think it's a realistic project. You know what I think will happen? I think that you are reinforcing the dopamine reward network in your brain to be even more gay. And so I would be extremely hesitant, even if you were to tell me, JF, I just really, really like gay sex, but just in my head, I'm never going to engage in real gay sex. I would be like, I don't know. I don't know that you can guarantee this. What I would be afraid of is that you are spending all this time in front of gay porn and gay thoughts, and this is reinforcing the, oh, I get a reward. I get a reward when I think about these things. And so, no, I'm not going to recommend this at all. Concentrate on the heterosexuality and the ultimate goal of baby making. Concentrate on baby, think about the babies that will come out. Not so much the sex itself. Oh, Firestarter has shared my appearance on Dick Masterson. So if you wanted to see me on Dick Masterson, there it is. You got it. so much cope, man. These kids are sad, says Beer Singetorix. Yes, but I think they are trolling. I don't think we have gay masturbators in the chat, although, you know, you never know. All right. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite platform to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. If you're trying to send Odyssey Super Chats, do not forget to add a payment method in your Odyssey account for it to display under the chat. Speaker's Corner says, JF, is it advisable to refrain from ejaculating for a month before planning to impregnate your woman so that the very best possible sperm is able to win the race? My philosophy is that this would be way too much retainment. You're going to have a large amount of sperm if you wait for a month. But my philosophy is that the optimal insemination cycle for men is within 3 days. And I'm afraid that when you spend, when you wait too long, nothing guarantees you that the sperm are the highest quality that have stacked in the tube and that have stayed there for a month. So to the contrary, I think for maximum quality sperm, you need to have a cycle of regular insemination. And to me, I've settled on approximating it to about 3 days. That means you have to inseminate at least every 3 days, or ejaculate at least every 3 days, and possibly more, especially if you are at the ovulation window. Then, in my experience, you have gains if you do it. Like if you could do it every 4 hours, that would be the best. But at some point, you're going to be too tired. At some point, your body is going to say, hey, there's no more sperm left. And it's okay to listen to your body and slow down. But the ideal, and to catch this small window of time during which the egg is receptive to sperm, my idea of it is the closest you can get to insemination every 4 hours, down to insemination every 12 hours. During this 3 day window that that you think ovulation may happen, or that you have it by test that it's happening, this is the best strategy. Vercingetorix says challenge accepted. I didn't say any challenge. What I told you about is regular life. This is not a challenge. It's how I live. Disclose.tv says, Justin, all flights across the US grounded due to FAA computer outage. That was this morning at 6 a.m. And eventually the computer outage even affected flights in Canada. And it resulted in more than 1,000 flights delayed later in the day. And eventually, all the FAA has ordered airlines to pause all domestic departures until 9 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. So a lot of problems associated with the computer network failing. Tillman says, JF, ask GTP to answer the questions in your writing style. What he doesn't know much about me, so he knows some conceptions of TRP, but he doesn't know me as an author. So he has already told us that he cannot reproduce my writing style because he has not read my book. It's like you create the most intelligent thing ever to exist. You feed it with terabytes of data, but the thing is so socially the thing is so socially inspired that it's just as stupid as these other humans that I'm faced with every day that are like, hey, I have a critique of your book, but I haven't read it. Are you willing to engage in a multiple hour discussion with me as I tell you my opposition to your book that I haven't read? No. I've spent orders of magnitude more hours writing that book so that you could, in a couple of hours, read it and address it. Go away, says JF, but ChatGPT is not intentionally not reading TRP, though, right? I don't know about the state of intent of ChatGPT, you know? He's a tough weasel to pin down in terms of the degree of planning of his stuff. Maoz wants to involve the rabbinate, that is the rabbis, in determining who is Jewish enough for immigration. That is an important event that is progressing in Israel. They are really, and the politics are extremely influenced by this. There is an insistence on demographic stability in Israel, and they are very annoyed that there's starting to be too many people who identify as Jews, which it's like, if you're in Canada or the US and you're a male and you're starting to be annoyed or you're starting to be hesitant at the idea that there are so many females identifying as males, you cannot share this thought. That would be discriminatory. But if you're a Jew in Israel, you may have the idea that it's not enough to identify as a Jew. You need to prove that you're a Jew. And now they will make new rules. They are especially interested in... We're not talking even about the African Jews, the black Jews here, which I think there's already a lot of resistance to be inclusive of them in Israel. But we're talking about the Soviet Union Jews. So they say there's just too much people coming from around Russia, the old Soviet Empire, claiming to be Jewish. We have to have a more serious test to be able to ban many of them. Some random bloke says, isn't race a social construct? Why would they care about immigration? Can't we all just identify as Jews and move to Israel? I don't think that's how they approach the question in Israel. Second cache of classified Biden documents found at a different location. Oh, listen, this is a whole new story that they're trying to push very hard on. The right-wingers are trying to push this because they're like, oh, Trump had a SWAT team at his home, and now you're telling me that Joe Biden also had documents that are classified at his home? We want him to be targeted by a SWAT team too. I get it. It would be fair if it was that way. But at the same time, it's annoying because we're talking about non-crimes here. We're talking about documents and people who had legitimate access to them. And perhaps they brought a box home. It's very tiring because I wasn't excited about this news when it was about Trump. And I'm not excited about this news now. Carlos says, JF, imagine trying to criticize the logic of The Matrix with the creators of The Matrix and you had never watched The Matrix. Yeah, someone was telling that to Eric Moss on Twitter. Like, Eric Moss was like, could I criticize the theory of evolution without having read Charles Darwin's book from beginning to end? And the guy said, well, if you were arguing with Charles Darwin, and if you were telling Charles Darwin, your book sucks, yeah, maybe you should read the book. Okay, it was you, Carlos Kilpeza. I found this a very good argument. It's like, yeah, maybe you could make general statements about the theory of evolution. But if you were bugging Charles Darwin and you were actually knocking on Charles Darwin's door and you'd be like, Charles Darwin, your book sucks. Maybe you should read Charles Darwin's book if you're going to do this. It's silly to pretend that Kiev won't become a NATO member, according to the Ukrainian ambassador. He says, NATO is just logical. Ukraine will be full of NATO weaponry and the people will be prepared. So what is the difference? Just place a seat at the table. These people are unbelievable. It's like, oh, please send us weapons. Please send us weapons. At least if you don't accept us in NATO, you have to send us weapons. And it's like, oh, now there's weapon. We have your weapon now. You might as well accept us in NATO now. That's literally what they're doing. They're using the beginning of a kind of, okay, we're going to help you on this, to say, oh, now you have to help us more. Now it makes sense. Now it's logical. Because now there's NATO weapons on our territory, so we should be part of NATO, right? I hope they don't get what they want. Because all of this is passive-aggressive ways for NATO to get at Russia, to prepare a war against Russia. Dino Legovich says, is it clams or lobsters? Darwin or Peterson? Is Darwin particularly a champion of clams? I had never heard about this. A leftist on Twitter is complaining that Elon Musk is playing with the algorithm manually. He says, I was trying to find this Ted Lieu tweet to show a friend. Turns out Musk has hidden it. Try for yourself. You can't find it with word searches. And it's absent from Lieu's entire history. In other words, Musk is suppressing politicians who criticize him personally. Well, when you look at the tweet, I have a different theory. I think that Elon Musk did an hilarious joke. Because Ted Lieu was saying Elon Musk way overpaid for Twitter. Elon Musk has the right to turn Twitter into a cesspool of anti-vaxxers, QAnon folks, and that Pizzagate guy. But if you want the facts about vaccines, talk to your doctor. If you don't have a doctor, read what doctors' associations have said. I oppose censorship by the government, but Twitter is not the government. Elon Musk, who overpaid for Twitter, has every right to turn it into a cesspool. So I think that Elon Musk found this hilarious. Here's a tweet of Ted Lieu telling me I can do whatever I want with Twitter. And so he did whatever he wanted. He clicked on de-amplify this tweet. I'm sure that Elon Musk cackled from his desk when he did it. He was like, oh, he's telling me I can do anything. De-amplify. I think it's just this. I don't think Elon Musk would be particularly ashamed at this tweet or would want to turn it off. But Ted Lieu opened up the suggestion here. And so perhaps Elon Musk just wanted to test this feature. And all right, let's see if I can de-amplify this. The American Gas Association says possible ban on gas stoves is reckless and not based on sound science. Well, the Testicle Defense Association says that the potential ban on testicles is not sound and not based on sound science. Of course, I would expect the American Gas Association to stand by the gas. But I agree with them also. I don't think there's any evidence that the person using this flame here is actually generating more carbon than the whole system that produces electricity, that loses heat and heat as it comes to your home. And by the way, the electricity relies on coal and other gases being burned, and now this heat will heat up some water and it will make something circulate as the water cools down in a chimney. All of this to send electrons into the waves, into the wires. And then once at your home, heat up an element through electrical resistance so much that the element becomes red and some of the heat gets lost. And then some of the heat gets transformed into irradiation in the red segment of light, and some of it bounces on the pan, and some of it might heat up your pan. You know, the most efficient way to heat a pan might just be to burn the stuff directly under the pan rather than burn it 100 kilometers away from it. I don't know, but that sounds like a not crazy explanation. And the leftists are all over Twitter suddenly being expert of gas stoves because they saw that Biden was considering a gas stove ban. And someone was commenting something very accurate. He says, I have yet to find a gas stoves are evil take older than 2 days from these automatons. It's like you search... You find a guy who's been speaking against gas stoves. It's like, gas stoves suck. Induction is better for almost everything. Grinning is better for the rest. with the added side benefit of not constantly poisoning you with CO and other compounds over your lifetime. And it's like, you look, has this guy ever said that before? No, this is a new position of the leftist Twitter sphere. In the last 48 hours, suddenly they all became anti-gas stove experts. New guy says, now I have to fight all of the gas stove experts. Oh, yeah, that is it. There's crazy activity on the market. The price of Bitcoin is rising. And this is an expectation of a CPI print of tomorrow. That is the most important CPI print ever. So a CPI print being merely a measure of inflation. So here's the thing. It is estimated by the professionals in the market that there is a very high chance that the CPI print of tomorrow will confirm that inflation has been shut down and has been attained under control slightly. So they are, and that would be defined as a CPI print that comes below 6.6%. I find 6.6% very high, by the way, as a target that they've set. Okay, but they will consider that it's lower at least if it's below 6.6%, because we've had a lot of inflation and then we stayed high, but then it kind of stabilized. And will it be low? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know about the delays and about just how much time does there need to be between the moment I see the price rise in the grocery store and their CPI print. I just don't know about these things. But basically, if inflation is demonstrated tomorrow to have been put under control, this gives hope of people on the market, on the stock market, on Bitcoin right now. Bitcoin is increasing in price. It gives hope that the Fed will be less aggressive in its rate hikes in the future, because they'll be able to say, all right, we got inflation under control, now we can relax a little bit. I don't know. They say there's 15% chance only that inflation will be found to be super high and will therefore justify further interventions from the Fed. I don't know. Personally, I don't know if we've reached the full bottom yet. And my impression is that we're on a little pump here, but that it's going to go down after. So I'm just looking at these market events passively. To be headed right now in a bull run, both on the stock market and Bitcoin, I find it extremely early. I have shared many times that I believe we're not far from the bottom, and buying Bitcoin, like I was saying, to buy 2 weeks ago or buying them in a couple of months, I think it's going to be all very close. But I find it bizarre if we've already reached the full bottom of the whole system, because we've been doing massive injections of money. The rate hikes have come, but I don't think they will have had the time to have their full effect on inflation yet. And they're just rate hikes. They don't remove the... They're not deflationary, you know? So I don't know. I am skeptical of everything I read, and I don't think... I'm not engaging in the market until I figure out better if those are all lies. All lies trying to catch more people into a long position and then crash the price again. Kenter says it will go down again. People have not forgotten about the past disasters yet, and the halving is too far away yet. Yeah, that would be my rough call. Slightly lower. I don't think we're going to crash enormously, but I don't think we're up for the bull run and that it's going to be all up from here. That would be unlikely in my view. Breaking. I love these Twitters. This is why I'm glad to be back on Twitter. I love these good tweets. Breaking, Bitcoin announces no layoffs and no budget reductions. Headcount to remain at zero. Expenses also to remain at zero. No spokesperson was available for comment. Isn't that the most efficient business ever? A business that doesn't have bad news? Whenever there's a bad news, it's going to be outside of the decentralized network. It's always going to be an SBF, an FTX, a Mt. Gox, whatever. But there's never a bad news emanating from within the Twitter heart. That I find it amazing. The Sixth Sense says, currently BTC is at the level it was in November 20, 2020. Ah, interesting. So 3 years ago, approximately, 2 years ago? 2 years ago. Inside Ukraine's 120-plus mile salt mine tunnels just captured by Russian's Wagner Group. Look at these tunnels. Wow. They are digging through salt. You gotta be kidding me. Look at these gigantic structures. This is people. People are small like this, and look at the size of that mine. Holy shit. And you can see the machines that have come in circle and just scratch the salt, get more salt. Fascinating. Delcroix says, JF, I got into fetch.ai at 6 cents. Think it may rise now. Fuck all. Just a bit of fun. Ever heard of it? It's at 16 now. No, I don't know what that is. Fetch.ai. Autonomous agent technology. Power peer-to-peer applications with automation and AI capabilities with or without direct access to a blockchain. Oh, yeah. I think you had talked to me about it. I remember seeing that page. Yeah, and it sounds very interesting. The potential that blockchain could be paired with efficient AI services delivery, such that someone comes in the market, says, I want to buy AI computational power. I want to buy $1 million worth of CPU thinking. And they deliver immediately. I love it. I don't know enough about the detail. I wouldn't get in that project personally, because just doing the research to evaluate the seriousness of the project, that would take me too much time. And I would still have the impression that I'm going to do more money with Bitcoin. So I'm turned off about a lot of alternative projects simply because I recognize the imperfect nature of my relationship with knowing, you know, and like if I examine 200 of these projects, these alt projects, I'm going to be, let's say I identify 100 that are worth investing in. I'm going to be right, what, 1% of the time, 5% of the time? So I'm going to be, in many projects, I'll be losing money. In some projects, I'll be doing amazing amounts of money. And I'm going to have all of this research time invested, all of this for getting an average return, really, compared to Bitcoin, which I know will be giving me enough return. So it's very hard for me to get out of Bitcoin, and I don't want to get out of Bitcoin. These meme currencies, I may pay attention to them, and I'm not saying that Fetch.ai is a meme currency. I may just throw $40, $100 at some meme currencies here and there, with the dream of making a 100x or something like this, but I don't have much interest because these things crash, these things suck, and most importantly, these things, they all exude scammy practices and scammy language, and I like actual innovation. I like to hear, okay, this developer wants to innovate on, I don't know, blockchain and file sharing. Great, we need that. On streaming and blockchain. Great, we need that. But I like the innovation rather than the opportunity for money making, you know. The Sixth Sense says, do you ever see crypto stabilizing to a point where it's reasonably trustworthy for most people? And what would be the change needed to accomplish this? Well, I think long term we can foresee this. I think that long term, what you could have, I think that what you already have is that Bitcoin is becoming the anti-Fed. Now, Bitcoin becoming the anti-Fed, the same way the stock market and gold has been the anti-Fed basically in the 90s and before. So it's a way for people to escape the wildness of the monetary policies of the Fed and of central banking if you're in another country. So where we could have a stabilization of Bitcoin is that what happens when you have an opponent in a game? What happens is that you start thinking, oh my God, my opponent is going to expect this from me, therefore I shouldn't do this. That's theory of mind, and in game theory, it's what happens, and it's what leads to a Nash equilibrium, as we call it. Now, can we have a Nash equilibrium in which neither the Bitcoin buyers or the Bitcoin sellers, neither the Fed, have interest in moving from a current price? Because what you're asking ultimately boils down to, JF, is there a Nash equilibrium of civilizational money printing? And there may be. It's a crazy scenario, because what we know from history is that money printing always is abused to the point of crashing the society that does it, to the point of totally destroying trust in the economic ID and lead to the fall of empires. That's what it is. Now you're asking a much interesting question, which is it possible that history will not repeat itself? And what if, let me present you this hypothesis, what if what the money printers need to be disciplined is not gold or stocks, because these things are, 1 minute. Is not gold or stock, because these things are subject to their own deception, their own printing, their own expansionism. On the side of gold, you have the mining of it. On the side of stocks, you have the fact that new companies are popping up and are becoming the thing to have, and they're emitting more shares and more stock. So these systems were not perfect anti-feds. DK Shadow says, but this time it's different, JF, we're at the end of history. Well, I rarely make that kind of argument, because I find it a ridiculous idea that we are at the end of history, but I'm still going to present the hypothesis because I think it's fascinating. What if Bitcoin was the perfect anti-Fed that the Fed needs to, that basically the Fed, knowing that Bitcoin is there to absorb any of the strategies that it may deploy, that the Fed eventually gets tempered down, gets pushed down by Bitcoin, and says, "We're gonna stop this kind of low rate expansionism of the money supply, because we know that Bitcoin will expect us. They will see us coming, and they will be taking the profits with them." So, if Bitcoin would be that perfect anti-Fed, because of its finite nature, because there is no mining of Bitcoin above a certain point. It will always be 21 million Bitcoin. And if that makes it something that the gold has not succeeded at doing and that stocks has not succeeded at being, Then this combined with a self-disciplinary attitude and wisdom from the Fed and self-correction and self-introspection and the absence of political corruption driving the Fed away from this, you could think that within the next 1,000 years, there may be 0.0001% chance that the Bitcoin price stabilizes. Michael Schellenberger, someone was sending me this. Michael Schellenberger saying, many think social media companies only censored vaccine misinformation. But a recently released email shows Facebook reassuring the White House that they were censoring often true content that does not contain actionable misinformation, but was discouraging vaccines. Ah, so we got the whole censorship here of, you know, someone comes on Facebook and says, hey, hey, my body is shaking. And they're like, and does seem like I've been shaking like this since I got the vaccine. Now, this is not an explicit violation of the rules, because you should be able to report this according to the rule, because it's a personal experience. But many of these people, we were seeing them being banned. So maybe we have an explanation in this. As discussed, we will make this person who has been coordinating the product work that matters most to your teams available on a regular basis. If it makes sense, we can schedule some time. Also, again, these meetings with the government. If you're talking about censorship, there should be no meeting with the government. What the fuck? Levers for tackling vaccine hesitancy content. You also asked us about our levers for reducing the virality of vaccine hesitancy content. In addition to policies previously discussed, these include the additional changes that were approved late last week and that we'll be implementing over the coming weeks. As you know, in addition to removing vaccine misinformation, we have been focused on reducing the virality of content discouraging vaccines that does not contain actionable misinformation. This is often true content, which we allow at the post level because experts have advised us that it is important for people to be able to discuss both their personal experience and concerns about the vaccine, but it can be framed as sensation, alarmist, or shocking. It can be framed. We can frame it. I can't think that it's inflammatory. Again, we have the same behavior that we had in the Twitter files. Can we plausibly claim this? I don't know. Could we say this and that would be the truth? I don't know. And now we have another form of it, which is it can be framed as sensationalist. I can feel that it's sensationalist. And they're telling that to the government. They're telling to the government, which is bound by First Amendment. Oh yeah, well, you asked us about our levers. We have levers. We can find it sensationalist. We can find it scandalous. And we can therefore de-amplify it. Elon Musk says constitutional violation. Absolutely. Elon Musk is right. Yeah. So thanks for sharing that link. Colorado says, if the vax had worked, we would be in big trouble because they would butt us for everything. Butt us? They would attack us with robots? Computer outage has affected Canada too. Oh yeah, there's this video that's been shared. It's a video of war, and I'm wondering if it's... I hope that it is correct under the Odyssey rules. Odyssey Terms of Service. because I do think that for the purpose of reporting the news, it's Odyssey Community Guidelines. Let's see, because there is death happening in this video. Community Guidelines. You must be at least 13 years old to use Odyssey. No doxing, no hate, okay. Promoting terrorism, that's not what we're doing. Excessive bullying of persons, I don't want to bully people. Torture, gore, or violence. Exceptions can be made for content that is deemed newsworthy. I don't like this because I don't know. If I show that video, I wouldn't know, will they consider me an exception for newsworthy purpose? I do think that it is newsworthy, but will they agree with me? So here, out of safety, I'm not going to show the video, but I'm going to tell everyone, and it's the right time to do it since I'm back on Twitter. Go on my Twitter account, twitter.com/JFGaryepi. Here, I will put it in the regular chat. If you haven't followed me, follow it. And anyways, I will retweet this video because it's on Twitter right now. So describe it. Well, it's a Russian soldier, and he's behind the enemy lines of the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians are facing that way, and they're like they're in these trenches and bunkers, and they're facing that way. And the Russian soldiers comes in their back, and he points a gun at them, and he says, "Stop, everyone, stop." And just before that, he has actually thrown a kind of grenade or something that drew their attention. So the grenade fell in front of the bunker, so it didn't hurt the people, but it kind of dragged their attention forward. But the guy is behind them, and so he totally disarms them. He says, "Leave your weapon down. I don't want to have to kill you. I'm going to make you prisoner." Basically, he doesn't say all these words, but basically he's suggesting that it's their chance to surrender. He removes the gun from the young man to his left. The young man is disarmed. The old man in the bunker, beside that young man, refuses to let his weapon go. He's holding to his weapon, but he's not efficiently, you know, placed to shoot the Russian. But he's holding to it, and he's like, no, he's protesting. And it all happens. I mean, the bullets are flying meanwhile, so the guy is super nervous. I mean, there's grenades, there's explosions heard everywhere, and bullets flying. The guy is in the enemy bunker, the Russian guy. So within a second of this resistance, he also has his super heavy gun pointed at them, and it's like, he kills the both of them. And I find this so sad that because of the old stubborn Ukrainian army guy, there's basically an 18-year-old young adult man who was willing to be prisoner. He ends up being shot, and I'm not blaming the Russian army. I'm not blaming the Russian soldier there. I mean, the bullets were flying. He's dealt with resistance, and he doesn't know, if I just shoot the old guy, will the young guy have the time to pull a gun on me or something? So yes, Kenter says, killed by boomerism. Yeah. That's exactly what's been happening. I was shocked. I'm shocked, and of course it's super graphic because you just see just heavy weaponry being used at a couple of inches from these two guys. But yeah, we have a young man here who has lost his life because of the stubborn resistance from his colleague in the Ukrainian army. Twitter needs Stefan Molyneux. The roasties must know their fate. Only one egg left in the box. It's time for Stefan to come because someone needs to tell women that the number of eggs you have in your ovaries only goes down. The ones you start with in life are a finite number. They're going to be released every month. And it's tick, tick, tick. The eggs are leaving. And people are calling for Stefan Molyneux to come back to Twitter because his account has been unbanned. But he hasn't tweeted yet. We need Stefan to come to bring back the reality of egg counting on Twitter. Breaking, Trump releases a new statement slamming the FBI and other agencies for colluding with big tech to censor Americans and violating our First Amendment rights. I find this commentary totally appropriate. Wasn't he monitoring the situation? This is exactly what Trump had answered to. We're monitoring the situation. But back then, we were telling Trump, take action now, do something. Because it's going to be a big slash of the right on the internet that gets deprived of freedom of speech and that get their business destroyed. He didn't do anything. John Drake says, pretty sure Stefan said he would come back to Twitter. Well, now he's unbanned, so we should see him, hopefully. Squelch Quatch says, Slavs are stubborn. Yes, I did see this because you have an opportunity there, and you could see the guilt in the Russian soldier's behavior. He was trying to give them a chance to surrender. He even took the time to pull manually the arms away from them, but he would not let go. The old soldier was like, bro. If you don't do it for yourself, at least do it for the kid that's beside you. You just got a young kid with all of his life ahead of him killed for your stubbornness. And Biden rolls out new scheme to turn student loans into welfare. This will be our last news item. The administration is pursuing an alternative path to transforming federal student loans into welfare. They're trying everything they can, and because they got denied on this, just reimbursing the debt. But they could invent a new form of social welfare that only gets given to debt holders of student debt. They want to find a detoured way to do exactly what they were denied to do by the Supreme Court. Because the whole idea of this judgment was, if you're going to reimburse hundreds of millions of dollars and no, hundreds of billions of dollars, $400 billion, it's going to have to be a decision of the politicians. It's going to have to be approved by Congress. The whole problem of this thing that Biden had tried was that he was trying to do it unilaterally as a dictator. And the Supreme Court said, you just have to have a law and then you do it. Now he's trying to invent a new form of social welfare that would only be given to those who have student debt. Therefore, there's always a way, says John Drake. It seems that Biden believes this. All right, everyone, this was a pleasure tonight. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, what day of the week is going to be retro game night? Would you consider doing a vote on which game to play? I could. I haven't thought about it, but let me tell you, I've been playing classic games because I've received my USB PlayStation clone gamepad, and it works great. I've been setting it up clearly, slowly in my emulators so that it would really work good, give really the feeling of the original SNES and Nintendo 64 gamepads. I've installed the emulator with the best setting. I got perfect image and everything. So yeah, just tell me which games you would want me to play. But I'm always afraid of doing that stream because I think it's not going to drag as much audience as if I speak about something that's news relevant. But yeah, I'll do it very soon. Whenever there's a day of news that I find too sleepy and not super interesting, I can start a kind of poll, but I would have to have suggestions to begin with. For example, DK Shadow says, play Parasite Eve 2. But I don't know Parasite Eve 2. I don't know if I want to play a game that I don't... that I did. At some point, I had Parasite Eve. Parasite Eve 2. I don't think I played this. I don't know what it's about. I'm not used to the game. I don't know if... So I would like to have many suggestions from you guys. Maybe put some in the comment section on Odyssey. If you haven't started an Odyssey account, it may be a good time to do it. Add a comment, and I will collect those that I think are the best, and then I will poll on Twitter or Discord, maybe. Silver Spider says, JF, maybe do it before or after the JFG Tonight show for an hour. Yeah, I could do this. Or I could do like this girl. I could cover the news while I seem conveniently busy doing other things. She does her makeup.
...that we're forming is the banter. And I had had another date with somebody. It was like a very casual thing.
Like I could be... The way she does her makeup, I could be playing Super Mario World 64. And the way she talks about her boyfriend, I could be talking about the news. What do you think? Bye-bye, everyone, and I'll see you all tomorrow.